Well, what we're going to do today is just a little bit crazy, just a little. We are in a sort of mini-series called Vision and Values, and what we're doing is we're talking about Calvary's core values, going to Scripture, seeing where they come from, why they're here, and we're talking about things that are really important to us. And to the reason we're doing this is really just to remind us of who we are, or at the very least, who we aspire to be. And what we've been doing, which is the sensible thing to do, is taking one topic each week, taking one core value. But the crazy thing we're going to do today is we're going to take two in one day. The reason it's crazy is because we've done entire messages on each topic individually. In fact, we've done whole series on each of these topics on their own. And it seems a little nuts, especially when you consider the fact that these two values can seemingly pull us in two very different directions. But in reality, both of these things are very important to us and to our church because they are both very important to Jesus. And even though some churches or even some Christians try to prioritize one of them over the other one, they are both great things that every church and every Christian should be all about. So the core values today are what you see in the unartful message title, and that is authentic community and lost people matter. And again, both of these ideas, both of these values are incredibly important to us. You see, one of these things presses us in, one of them pushes us out, and both of them balances us out. So what we're going to first do today is we're going to look at how and why authentic community is important to us. Then we're going to talk about why and how lost people matter and what that looks like at our church. And finally, we're going to see how these two things actually work together in our church to help strengthen us, reach our community, and help us to live according to the way that Jesus designed us to. So let's first take a look, and if you have your outlines, those might be handy today. The first thing we're going to look at is authentic community. One of the sad things about the modern church is that many times, many of us tend to look at the church as an organization where we get our religious goods and services, right? Like, I've got my pizza place over here. I've got my dry cleaners over here. I get my groceries here, and I get my God stuff there. Like, it's just kind of on this list of places. And listen, I do get that it is important to find a community of people that you can connect with, and it is important to find a church that is meaningful to you and helpful to you, but we've got to look at it a little bit different. And by the way, again, it is, you have to find a place you connect. I always tell people there's at least two things that you should expect out of any church, and one is that you should be blessed through music, message, fellowship, opportunities to get involved. You should be able to be blessed. But the second thing is you should also be able to be a blessing. You should be able to use your gifts and talents and time to enrich the community as a whole. So those are important things. But once we are part of a church community, we are called to something more than just meeting our personal preferences and needs. We are called to something great. In fact, it's something attached to what we commonly call the Great Commandment. See, there was a group of people when Jesus was alive in the Gospels. He was constantly trying to be trapped and tricked in his words. And at one occasion, there was a guy that came up to him and asked him, what was the greatest commandment of all? And so we see in Matthew 22, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then he gives the second, where we're kind of finding focus today. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So the number one most important thing, Jesus said, is love God with everything you have. But the second thing is like it. It's connected to it. So the first one is the vertical expression of love. The second one is the horizontal, and that is love other people like you love yourself. Love your neighbor. And love the closest people around you, not just your physical neighbors, but you should love them too, but people that are in your community. And it's important for us to remember the church is just not just an organization where you get your religious goods and services. We are a community. In fact, Jesus said one of the signs to this world, a powerful sign, is how we love one another as a community, growing together, centered around him and his love for us. Now, as we look at what this is supposed to look like, we can learn a lot of things from the early church and some of the things they modeled for us. But one of the things is their commitment to their quality of relationships. It says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now notice, in addition to praying, in addition to scripture, they were also continued steadfastly in fellowship. Now what does fellowship mean? I mean, it's kind of a churchy word, right? But it's an important word. I mean, it's like our last name, Calvary Fellowship. So you can see that's something that we actually value here and value. But what does it mean? Well, it signifies to us this word fellowship. It means koinonia in the Greek. And it's a type of relationship that is unique, rare, and distinct. And it means, the original word means association, community, communion, joint participation, intercourse, intimacy. And so you can see the depth of relationship that we're called to have. You see, this type of relationship pales in comparison to all other types of relationships that we can have. This is the type of relationship we can only have with other Christ followers. You can have a great relationship with someone who doesn't believe, but you can only have koinonia, or this type of fellowship, with other Christ followers. So I want you to do me a favor. Take a look around the room just for a moment. Don't make eye contact too long. People get freaked out when you do that, right? Just take a look around the room. What you're going to do is, when you look at other people, you're going to see that we come from all different places, different races, different stages of life. We've got married, single, we've got people in all different ways. And yet, what we learn together is that despite all of our differences, we can have this deep connection together. We can experience this koinonia. The reason we can is what unites us, or I should say, who unites us, is greater than what distinguishes us. Because Jesus Christ is our unifying factor, and God is our heavenly Father. And so if God is all of our Father, then we are all brothers and sisters. So take another quick look around the room and meet your family. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I remember playing cards with my cousin at a young age, and I remember winning and gloating, and she was upset. I said, hey, that's what friends are for. And she reminded me, oh, no, we're not friends. We're family. You can pick your friends. You can't pick your family. And the truth of the matter is, that's exactly right. You can't pick your family. And yet, there's no one closer than family. And we're together for the rest of our lives. And so that's the deal that we're supposed to have as fellow followers of Jesus. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there is a deep bond established in Jesus. And what we're supposed to do as a community of Christ followers is learn to fulfill that second commandment of loving one another by doing all of the other one another's that are listed throughout the New Testament. Things like love one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, build one another up, exhort one another. We did a whole series on this. There's a whole bunch of them. But we're supposed to do all the things that help grow us up together. And these are all real relationships we have with people that are messy, just like our lives are messy many times. But with people who, like us, want to pursue Jesus and learn to love one another more, because that is what he has called us to do. And it meets a need in our lives, it pleases our Savior, and it helps us to grow up and mature. By the way, I've heard people say, you don't need a church to be a Christian. That may technically be true, but I'll tell you this, you need to be involved in a church family if you want to grow and mature in your faith, because on your own, you know, it's real easy. I just love God without the friction of other people that will help test your nerves, try your patience, and give you opportunities to forgive, release grace, receive grace, and grow up in Him. So now, I was thinking this week about how do we do this? How do we, it's a value, but how do we experience authentic community? And we're going to focus on two things. One way that we pursue this is through the environments we create. You see, this is the part that we as leaders are constantly trying to organize. We try to create a culture where authentic community can happen, but it starts with creating environments where they can happen. I look back, and as a kid, one of the things, my Aunt Patty, she lived in the northeast corner of Connecticut, all the way in a little town called Moosup. Anyone ever heard of Moosup? Rare. Okay, well, anyway, for the rest of you, it's on the map. You can find it. But I remember going to her house, and there was she always had a pot of coffee brewing, and the house opened into the kitchen, and she welcomed everybody. It was kind of like a TV sitcom where just kind of randos would come piling in throughout the day. And she'd have cards, she'd have coffee, and all of a sudden the mailman would come in, and he'd sit down and have a cup of coffee. My uncle had a TV shop downstairs. Customers would come up. They knew that people that were working, true story, even the crazy cult leader that lived in town would come over, and he thought he was Jesus. And my aunt said, well, Aunt said even Jesus needs coffee, so she'd welcome him in. But she just created this space where fellowship and everyone knew they were welcome. And I feel like in some way we need to kind of create some of that here. I mean, maybe not the cult leader part, but like the rest of it, we although we'd want them to know they're welcome here too. But we want to create an environment where everyone knows they can come and be a part. And so at Calvary, we try to create these spaces where people can come and connect and get to know each other and explore. That's why we do the cafeteria. That's why we have the Dunkin' Donuts coffee and stuff every single week. The reason we invest thousands of dollars every year is not just so that you can get amped up on caffeine and, you know, have more carbs in your life. The reason is we want to create a space where you can get to know other people, a place where anybody can come and anybody can belong. And all you got to do is show up. That's why we also do things like have the home fellowship environment. That's a core part of what we do. We love that people come on Sundays. We want you to come on Sundays, but we want you to also participate in home fellowships, because that's where you can grow together in a small group of people, pray for one another, get to know one another, know that other people are going through difficult times and exciting times just like you are. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And that's what happens through these home fellowships. Serving teams, another way where you can build community even as you're going about and accomplishing God's purposes in your life. We also hope over time this develops into some one-on-one relationships where you meet a great friend. In some cases, maybe you meet a discipleship or an accountability partner. But these are all great things. But so we want to create environments to foster these things. But that's only a piece of it as we pursue authentic community. Part of it is the environments we create. But the other part is the opportunities we seize. Do you know that none of these environments will do you any good if you don't seize the opportunities and take advantage of them? You see, again, we don't want you just coming on Sundays, though we do. We actually want you to sign up and show up for a home fellowship and be involved with other people's lives. We want you growing in authentic community. Here's a question for you today to consider. Do you have people here that are invested in your life? Not just, hey, I show up and I enjoy the teaching and the worship. That's great. But do you have people here that are invested in your life? If not, you're missing out on a key thing of what church is supposed to be, and you're not getting the full experience of what Jesus designed for you and what we're trying to cultivate. So I want to encourage you to take some of those opportunities. Joining a home fellowship is just one thing that you can do. Another thing you can do is, let's say you find somebody in a home fellowship and you're like, man, I think I could connect with that person. I seem to enjoy them, or this couple can connect with that person. Why don't you pick up the phone, send an email, text, whatever you do, and invite them to lunch. Maybe have them over for dinner. You know what I would love to see is just a flurry of, and I don't know how you measure it, we don't measure that kind of thing, a flurry of lunches taking place over the next few weeks. Or a flurry of dinners, of being prepared and meals being served and people getting to know one another. I think that would please God, but I also think that's something that would be meaningful as we take steps to grow in relationship together. Another thing we could do, and I say this several times a year. Today's the day I'm going to say it again. After you leave today, for some of you, if you answered the question like, no, there's no one that has invested in my life here, when you leave today, it's possible that every time you go out, you make a left and you go to the parking lot. But I want to tell you about the right-hand turn. The right-hand turn is what leads you, if then you'll make a left after that, but that will lead you into the cafeteria where said refreshments await you. Friendly people await you. Other people looking to connect await you. And what I want to challenge you to do is take the opportunity to do that. No, I get it. Right now, I think I'm speaking to the introverts because the extroverts are already there waiting and have already done that. But I know sometimes it may feel to you like you're dying 1,000 deaths to go in there. So here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm doing today. Get the coffee, right? You can hide behind that a little bit. And then even if you're like, but I'm so socially awkward, just go in with a cup of coffee. Hi, I'm Joe. You know, Twitch, whatever you do, like when you're in uncomfortable situations, it's okay. We all have weirdness just in different ways. Go in, say hi to someone. And here's what I'm going to do to make it easy for you. Today, your job when you go into the cafeteria is introduce yourself to 3 people you don't know. See what I've just done? Other people are going to talk to you. And even if they don't, you go up and say, I'm just doing what Pastor Bill said, like I'm following orders. There you go. So jump in, meet somebody, and you never know what God will do with that. But it takes intentionality to go forward in these environments. The church has a responsibility to create environments where authentic community can happen, but each of us has a personal responsibility to engage in these environments and look to connect not only ourselves, but others in this fellowship. Now, let's make a sharp turn as we look at our second core value on the table today, and that's this. Lost people matter. See, as our church family grows and grows closer to one another, it's very important that we don't lose sight of something important, that there are many lost people outside of us and around us that desperately need Jesus in their lives. They need to experience what we experience in Jesus and in one another, the love, the care, the support, the encouragement, and we should care about that, and we should care about them. Lost people should matter to us because lost people matter to God. And some of you say, well, you know what? Lost people don't always treat Christians very nicely. Did you hear what Joy Behar said? Number one, she apologized for those that didn't kept current. But number two, so what if they say bad things about us? That doesn't exempt us. Do you know who they also said bad things about? Jesus. They also killed him. And yet he came willingly and died and laid down his life. And so many times we're like, we're all upset about what the heathen are saying about us. It's okay. We were one of them. I remember before I was a Christian some things I said, and I'm sorry for all of that stuff. But listen, we were all in a place where we didn't understand, and it doesn't matter what they think about us. What matters is what God thinks about them and how we are called to go mobilize and share the good news for us. Because Jesus, not only did he love lost people enough to come for them, he loved them enough to die for them, and then he rose again and he gave some instructions that brings us to another great thing. We talked about the great commandment. Now let's talk about the great commission. Jesus, after the resurrection, before the ascension, before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave this instruction to his disciples, instructions that still stands today. Matthew 28, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the day of the age. And so Jesus did pray for us to love one another, but he also called us to go out and tell lost people about him so they can grow in him too. And let me just say, if you're here today and maybe you're not a Christian, perhaps you take some offense at this term lost people, understand that this is not said in a derogatory or judgmental way. In fact, when Jesus used this term, it was quite the opposite. You see, Jesus, as we read, loved lost people so much that he instructed all of the people that did know him to go out and pursue them and tell them all about him. And so Jesus cared so much. Jesus spent time with people that weren't Christians. He healed them. He ministered to them. He shared meals with them. He gave the sacrifice of his very life. And he loved them so much, again, that he calls us who are Christians to go out and do the same. So because of our love for Jesus, and because of the fact that he teaches us that those that don't matter, that don't know him, do matter to him, that we should go out and prove that lost people matter by trying to help them connect to him. And we really work hard to do that. And so we're going to look at, again, two big pictures ways we can do this. One is parallel to the other point. And that is, number one, we can create an environment where people can come to know Jesus. And that should be at least part of what our church is all about. That outreach should be a key component. We should be looking to others that don't believe yet like we believe. I remember a few years ago, a woman came to me and said, "Oh, my friend so-and-so sent me here to come to this church." And I said, "I don't know her." She said, "Oh, she doesn't come. She goes to another local church in the area." But she said, "But if I want to know about Jesus and want to kind of connect to him, this is the church that I should come to because people like me are welcome here." And I thought two things. Number one, I'm so glad that that's our reputation in some circles. Number two, I hope we don't ever become a church where people that come and want to tell their friends about Jesus send them to other churches because we might have missed something. And I don't say that to disparage them. I say that as a warning to us because the gravitational pull of any church is inward. Left on our own, we will always exist to begin serving ourselves, catering to our own wants, needs, and preferences, and we'll become focused on that, and that gravitational pull will eventually, unchecked, make us totally irrelevant to lost people. Yes, we should press in for community, but we should also be pushing out and breaking the holy huddle, being on mission. Now, this inward pull, it looks a lot of different ways, but again, it can be so consumed with our preferences that we're not out trying to reach and connect people that are far from Jesus. Sometimes it means we adopt like a different language. We start speaking in Christianese. We start adopting, you know what I'm talking about. "Oh, bless alleluia, brother." It's like, what? Sometimes we just need to stop and ask ourselves, is what I'm saying making sense? God called us to be strangers in a strange land, not strange in a strange land. You can write that down. The point is, we need to keep an outward focus for people. Yes, we are called to be different, but we are called to still reach people and understand people and connect to them. And so we want to create an environment where people that know Jesus can come in and grow in their faith, and yet where people that don't know Jesus can have access points and we can build bridges to them so they can hear and understand and do a lot of different things. Messages are designed partially for people that don't know Christ. A lot of the different things we do, even this sign, "New to Jesus," as simple as that is, we were replacing it shortly, and there's like only three words. There's only going to be a couple words on the new sign. We changed it. But you know, we had multiple meetings about that sign. You're like, "You guys got nothing else to do, right?" No, it's not that. It's that we are trying to understand that as culture shifts, that the days of just, you know, 20 people coming to Jesus, that first invitation, they come, that happens, you know, things like that can happen sometimes, but more often than not, people come with really good questions and hard questions, and so we want it to be not just an environment for people that come that gave their life to Jesus that day, though we want that to happen, we want it to be a place where people can come and ask questions and feel comfortable doing that, so we're trying to be very intentional in how we engage people, because again, lost people matter. And so it matters that we're intentional. Now, know this, I understand we can't make anyone a Christian. God is the one that calls people. But the key is what we can do is break down barriers that stand in the way and build bridges to people so that these people can do business with God and he can do what only he can do. And listen, we don't always get it right. You know, I recently had a conversation with someone I really care about, and they visited our church years ago a few times, and they told me they stopped coming, and they shared something that they said, and I don't ever remember saying that, but I said, boy, that doesn't sound like something I'd say, but if I said that, I'm really sorry. And so we have to be really careful about our language. I don't mean about watering down truth, because that's not helpful for anybody. What I mean is being clear, but articulate in what we present, so it's gospel message that we're being on point with the things that Jesus called us to do. And so for me, it's taking a fresh look at why we do what we do on a regular basis. Now, while it's important to do that, while it's important to create the environment, we can't just say that lost people matter if we're just waiting for them to come here. It means that we also have to do what, you know, what Jesus said in the Great Commission is go and make disciples, not just wait for them to come to you. And so there has to be a part of go. And so the second thing is, not only first of all, create environments where lost people can come to know Jesus, but number two, we need to go fishing. Jesus said this, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Let me consider just a few of the ways that we can do this practically and some of the ways we do this practically. You know, Community Outreach Day started, as Crystal just talked about that. That started because of the school's production each year. Just so you know, we still have the option to go down the street like we have to do occasionally in the summer for SafeGrad and other things and meet at Sedgwick. But we just decided eight years ago that one day each year we're going to cancel our church service. Can't wait till we have our own building. That's going to move to the summer where it makes tons more sense. But nonetheless, we do that to remind us that we need to go out and be part of the community. And that symbolic thing that happens that day is something that should be happening in multiple levels and multiple different times, because people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Jesus said this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so when we go out and serve the community, it's an indication to them that we actually do care about them. But again, a day is just a day, but we also have, Candace has been busy organizing Love in Action. Stay tuned to this. We're going to have a whole month dedicated to how we can do service out in our community. You're going to see this in your home fellowships in lots of different ways, so be a part of that. Another way you can fish is give. Give to your local church. Give to missionaries. Give to places that are sharing the message of Jesus Christ all over, so that we can fund the revolution. Another thing we can do is share your story. So many of you have such amazing stories of what God has done in your life, how he's redeemed you, changed you, transformed you. My aunt said to me, I just saw her, different aunt, talked a lot about my family today. Anyway, took me aside and said, you know, your life is just so different. Who could have seen this coming? I said, well, there's at least one. Because I know I didn't plan this path, and yet what we can do when people notice the change is give glory to God, and we can also tell them the good news. Tell them what Jesus did for us, what he can do for them, what he wants to do. Make sure you know how. Do you understand how to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and what that means for people? Another thing you can do as part of fishing is go out and invite. Invite people to come on Easter. Use the invite cards that are there. You know what I do? I leave them like breadcrumbs all over the community. Leave them at your coffee shop. Leave them wherever you can pin them up. Maybe in some windshield wipers. You know, just wherever you, whatever's legal, just kind of do that. But door hangers, whatever the case is, get the word out. And also, as we talked about, who's your one? Because it can be daunting to say, well, which five friends am I going to invite this year? That's great if you invite five friends. But what if everyone just invited one person that you care about that needs to know Jesus to come? Here's what I promise to you. We're going to have a great service on Easter Sunday, and the gospel will be clearly presented in a compelling way so that people can understand. And yes, we try to create a big opportunity on Easter Sunday when people normally come anyway so that they can come and hear. The key about all of this is that we are intentional and that we're purposefully doing these things. And I know for some of you that this can be very uncomfortable, right? Introverts again. This can be really challenging. But I want you to think about, and for many extroverts too, but I want you to think about something more important than our personal comfort or for us feeling stupid, is that everybody spends eternity somewhere. And we want them to spend eternity with God. And the reason this should motivate us to just get pushed out of our comfort zone. And listen, when you're talking about God, you don't need to feel like I'm pushing something on someone, like I'm selling something, like, you know, you're not selling a multi-level marketing thing. You don't need to feel weird about this. I love what Tim Keller said about I read his Songs of Jesus daily devotional right now, and he says this, if I urge people to believe in God, I am summoning them into joy. Isn't that a fresh way to look at it? You're not trying to get something from them. You want something for them. And so you're inviting them into something amazing. People all around us need hope. The headlines remind us of that. In my own family, something just awful happened to someone in our family this week because they didn't sense they had any hope. And I can tell you this, it wrecked me, but it also reignited me to be on point and on mission. Jesus calls us to go out and share the good news, and lost people matter. So let's all go out and be hope dealers in our community. Hope for clarity. The last thing we're going to talk about today is the balance. What I hope to do in this part is see how these two values that can seemingly compete in a church and divide in a church actually help bring balance as we seek to embody and embrace both of them. You know, see, authentic community is all about community, inreach. Lost people matter is all about cause. It's outreach. It's mission. And listen, as a church staff, we are far from perfect, but one of the things we always try to do is to grow individually and together for the sake of our church. And so many times what we'll do is we'll go through a book together that will challenge us to grow. And I remember reading a church leadership book, and it talked about sort of, as you look at a church, three main things: cause, community, and corporation. Now, corporation, like, what is all that simply means is it's the organizational side of things that just undergird. It's not kind of like its own mission. It's what you don't notice if everything's running smoothly. And so if you consider that's just what undergirds, then there's two main things that are left in a church, and that's community and cause. Now, one of the people on our staff asked us to rank what we think is most important, or what we prioritize more. What do we think is most important? Is it community, you know, sort of the relational side of things internally in our church family, or is it cause? Is it going out, the mission, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? And as we went through, we kind of had different answers and different responses, and it was kind of based on what different people's passions were. But here's the thing that is important. Both of them matter. You know, these things should be present in all of our lives. As a church, both of these things should be present. I get that some people will have preferences for one or the other, and you're designed that way, but we should be intentional about both. And that's the reason where I'm presenting both of them today. And I get that. Doing that comes at the expense of digging deeper into either one of them. But by doing this, I hope it shows that both are the priority. It's not either or, it's both and. Both must be practiced, but both can only be balanced in a group of people, not in an individual. Let me explain why this is so important. Some of you are totally cause people. You come alive watching people come to Jesus, watching people grow in their faith, take next steps. You love watching the church grow. You're all about the church building. You just kind of can't get enough of that stuff. And some of you are totally community people. You love the relational side of things, the deepening friendships, the care elements of our church, just the church family side of things. And so when you look at that, you're on fire for helping the family of God deepen, while the cause people are on fire for helping the kingdom of God expand. And what, again, we have to remember is that both are important. While the cause people tend to focus on cause, the community people tend to focus on community, both are important. And we all need to be about both, though all of us will have a passion for one more than the other. And in case you haven't figured it out, I am a cause guy. I mean, I love community, but I bleed mission. I love watching people come to Jesus. I love seeing things move forward. That's my bias. It's like the bias for action. And yet, we have others that are on the other side of things. You know, many of you remember Kristen Shea. She was on our staff before she moved away a while back. And she was, it's so funny, we had some great conversations because she was the polar opposite. She was a complete community person. And I remember her telling me one time, look, I get that I love things are going well organizationally or the cause, but I just want to know, how is the family doing? How are things going on the relational side of things? You see, her bias is community. And I thank God for people like her because she balances out people like me. I need her. And she needs people like me. We all balance one another out. And the reason this is so important for all of us to understand is if we don't understand that, if we don't remember that, we'll make assumptions about certain people based on their biases and judge them unfairly. Right? The community person can look at the cause person and say they don't care about people. It's all about numbers for them. It's all about achievements for them. And the cause person can say, look at the community person and say, they don't care about the cause. It's all about just kumbaya and group hugs and that kind of a thing, right? And unfairly look at one another. And the truth is that both passions, both types, create a harmonious tension in the church that balances us out, especially when sort of the organization side, the corporate side of things, is undergirding things and making sure these are happening in a healthy way in balance. Now, again, these distinctions should be celebrated, much like I celebrate the differences between men and women. It's phenomenal that we're not alike. It's phenomenal. It's challenging sometimes, isn't it? But it's fantastic. In the same way, we should celebrate our differences in this area because as we look at it, we need one another. And these things work best when we complement and are not competing over these things. And the truth of the matter is, authentic community and living in the reality that lost people matter, once again, they don't compete. They complement one another as well. Because at the end of the day, both of these things are about people and loving them the way that God loves them and the way that he says we should. You see, it's about how we love our neighbors. As we learn to love one another here and pursue greater intimacy in the body of Christ. And it's also about lost people who need Jesus. And so we need to be on mission, living for the purpose of inviting them into our family. You see, there are people here today, right now, that are in desperate need and starving for authentic community. So we need to continue to press in. And there are people in our community that desperately need to know Jesus, and they need to know that he cares about them and wants to invite them into his family. And so because of that, we continue to push out. We're not perfect, and we don't always get this balance right, but we need to keep trying. Because one day, you and I will spend all of eternity with Jesus, enjoying the community that he died to provide and that he desires for us to experience. And we'll live in that reality forever. So let's start practicing this type of fellowship even now. And at the same time, lost people matter. And they too will spend eternity somewhere. So let's go out and get as many people as possible to come with us, so they can know the hope and the joy found in Jesus too. Let's pray. God, we come before you with gratitude and thanksgiving because you looked at our lives and in our desperation, in our sin, you knew how much we needed you. And so you came here and Jesus, you lived, you died, you gave your life for us so that we could be forgiven, we could be redeemed, we could be invited into your family. And God, I pray for those of us that are here that we would take this seriously today, that we would grow closer to you and grow closer to one another. God, love you with everything we got and love other people like we love ourselves. Simple, but so hard sometimes. Please just help break through our distractions. We make it so much more complicated than it really is. Help us to do these things well. Hey, God, I pray you'd increase our passion for people that are lost, that you'd give us a burden, help us understand they're all somebody's mother, brother, father, daughter, son, sister, friend, somebody that somebody loves, and at the very least you love, and you want to be connected to them. And so, God, no matter how closed off, prickly, angry, whatever they may be, help us to reach out and just love them well. Help us to seize opportunities. Help us to recognize them and seize them as they come. And help us to share the good news. God, I pray for our church that we'd know our passions, whatever our biases may be, but that we would live in balance as we lean in and practice these things one another and with one another. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, part of it's maybe a little strange because you heard me say that we want to go out and invite you in. And yet, here you are. Thank you for being our guest today. Thank you for being a part of this. But what we want to invite you in, it is more than just being a part of our church. Bigger than that is we want to invite you into God's family. We want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ where you can know that you are forgiven, you're redeemed, you're restored, you are in the presence of God forever. When I say those things, it simply means all of us have done things that we regret. These things keep us at a distance from God. They keep us disconnected from God. And so Jesus, this was so serious to him, and he cared so much for us that he died, that he came here. And you, all you need to do is respond to that. All you need to do is say, I put my faith in you, Jesus, and he will forgive you. He will heal you. He'll do a deep work of restoration. You'll be a part of a family where God is always your father. Listen, I grew up without a dad, and some of you, maybe it's hard for you to connect with what that looks like, but I have found a heavenly father, and he never leaves me, never forsakes me. And that's the same for you. If you want a heavenly father in your life, if you want brothers and sisters in your life, it simply begins with you recognizing that you need to make a turn. Make a turn from the way that you're walking and turn in Jesus' direction. Trust and follow him. I want to give you the opportunity to do that now. I'll say a prayer, and if you want to respond to Jesus today, simply repeat these words. But the most important thing is meaning them in your heart, and God will hear you today. Church, please pray for those that are making this decision. And those that you want to, you can go ahead and just say this prayer to God now, and he'll hear your heart. Just say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me and that I matter to you. I thank you that you died for me, that you want to forgive me, relieve my guilt and shame, help me not to struggle in the same areas that I have been, but help me to be victorious. Thank you that not only did Jesus die, but he rose again. And that power is a promise that I too can experience resurrection life. So I don't know everything, God, but I know I want to follow you today and be with you. So please help me follow Jesus from this day forever. In your name, amen.